Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. Remember that MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is a credit union, not a bank, which means it belongs to you, and you get shares back at the end of the year. You can also go to steinershow.org and click on their banner. Speaking about belonging to the people, we're going to talk about Occupy Baltimore this hour for some of the folks occupying it now and unions that are working together with it. As I said, we covered New York last week, brought you a series of conversations with people who were in New York occupying Wall Street. And one of the things that stood out there was the power of the unions there. At 6 o'clock the next morning, when the mayor, until the mayor had backed down, he was going to move people out of this privately owned park, Zuccotto Park, where they were all staying. And almost 1,000 union members, Teamsters and transit workers, showed up to stand with the people living in that park, which was amazing to see that come together, these cultures crossing lines in some ways. In Baltimore, similar things are happening. And we're going to talk about that this hour. We have with us in the studio Liana Dalton. Is that right? Liana Dalton is an organizer with Unite Here, Local 7. We'll talk about that union. Shalon Brown is with us. Shalon Brown is with us, who is a participant in Occupy Baltimore. Good to have you with us, Shalon.
Thank you.
And Novella Gardner is with us, who's a banquet server and union leader at the Convention Center. Novella, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you in the studio with us. Also joining us is Mike McGuire, who's a carpenter, member of Red Amos Collective, and a participant at the Occupy Baltimore as well. Mike, good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Get that mic a little closer to you. Cool. All right. And number 410-319-8888. So tell us what's going on. How did this, first of all, Occupy Baltimore is in its what week now? Where are you now?
Just going into third.
Your third week, where people are camping out and they're on the corner of Pratt and
Light.
And Light. Mm-hmm. And the similar ideas that are going on in New York and elsewhere in terms of the banks. We'll talk about that. But what is this movement with the unions bringing in here? Who wants to start? Novella. With a name like that, you have to start. It's a beautiful name.
Thank you so much. I'm a banquet server at the Baltimore City Convention Center, and a new company came in and took over. And we had to fight for our jobs. We was not guaranteed that we were going to keep our jobs once the old company left. And I felt as though, why should I fight for my job due to no fault of my own? I didn't plan to get fired or to leave my job. This new company came in and they took over the Baltimore City Convention Center, basically, and they told us that they was going to give us our regular pay that we had when the other company was there. And we brought in our old pay stubs to prove that we were making this amount of money. And they said, oh, y'all not getting paid this week. Y'all will get paid tomorrow. And they recut the checks and paid us what they thought was a fair pay, which was $12.10 an hour for the work that we do. I love my job. I love meeting people. I love greeting people. It's opened up worlds for me, being a banquet server, because I used to be a stay-home mom, and I raised 10 children.
10 children?
10 children. And, you know,
You don't look like you've raised 10 children, but that's a good thing.
Thank you so much. And being a single parent, and getting out there in the workforce and making your own money and being somebody important, because it was important to me. When I meet these people from other countries and other cities and stuff, I felt like they're in my home. So I want to treat them with the best of service. And being a server, to me, is like doing something that pleases everybody.
So when the company came in and they tried to move you out, you had to fight to remain.
I had to go to City Hall, me and some of my coworkers, and fight to keep our jobs. And that was kind of hard to know that you wasn't guaranteed your job after being there for so long.
So, Liana, talk about that, the organizing effort. How does that all fit into what Novella was talking about?
So, basically, what happened, as Novella explained, the we had to fight for the jobs because there was no job retention clause, but we went down to City Hall. We got a unanimous resolution that from the City Council saying, look, this is a city-owned building. Baltimore taxpayers own this building. This should be an example, not like... this is right now a bad example. And so what we're talking about right now is everyone kept their jobs, but what we had to do is continue to fight. They cut people's pay. They cut people's insurance. So people have been without insurance for the last 2 years working. And right now we're in the process, the union is recognized, but we're in the process of fighting for a contract. And so all we're saying is that people should be moved up to their old wages, and that they should.
And how much did they lose? How much did y'all lose?
I was making $14.30, so I lost like $2 and something an hour. But $2 and something may not look like a lot.
It's a lot
to people, but it's a lot, especially when you're trying to buy a house. I'm a homeowner. And I'm trying to do the right things. I'm a taxpaying citizen, and I want my city to grow.
So now, what is the connection here, Shalom, between what's happening with Occupy Baltimore and Unite in the Workers?
Go ahead. Okay, I can just explain that. So basically, as the Food Service and Hospitality Workers Union in Baltimore, we're looking at the city and seeing that, there's a lot of inequity, economic inequity, and that what we are trying, like that the wealth is still concentrated in the hands of these huge multinational corporations, and that the city's trying to do all sorts of things to bring these companies in on the premise that these are going to be good jobs, and that basically what's going on now is, that the only way we can guarantee that these are actually good jobs is by having unions standing up and fighting. And so we're in coalition with the Occupy Baltimore people because just like, our members are that 99% and who are standing up, fighting, and trying to make ends meet while these rich corporations who have a lot of money and could very easily pay people a living wage, could very easily pay people, provide health care, are not.
So, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it's a very easy connection. What Liana was talking about with the trend towards cutting benefits, cutting wages, having employment be less stable, these are all trends that we've all been pushing back against in our own private ways. And these aren't new. These aren't new to the 2000s. They're not new to 2011. If you look at wages in the United States, starting in 1970, so 40 years ago, you see wages starting to flatten out. Wages haven't increased. Cost of living has increased. And what's happened in society is that we've made up for that lack of wage increases with respect to cost of living by extending cheap and easy credit to everybody. So you have a country that's not – if you want to talk about debt in the United States, there's national debt, which is just going to exist. It's part of the condition of doing business. But the real explosion has been in personal debt in the United States. And you have all these people that are basically mortgaged to death. You have students that are coming out of college with record student loans, basically rivaling the mortgage of a house, just coming – before they've even entered the workforce. You have folk coming out of college with multiple credit cards in their pockets. And it's unsustainable. And we've seen in this country and around the world is just this constant fight on the part of the super rich and the multinationals to hoard more power and more wealth for themselves. And they do it by any means that they have at their disposal. And in the United States, as in many countries, governments are acting in collusion with these private actors, saying that that everybody needs to promote good business environments, and it's only through the promotion of that positive business environment that all of our rafts will be lifted in this sea of wealth. And you know, you've seen that occasionally over the last 40 years where poverty indexes have dropped. But consistently, we've seen poverty indexes increase, not decrease.
So, and Shalon, talk about why were you there? Why are you in Occupy Baltimore?
I am there for a lot of reasons, but I feel like as somebody who was always successful when it came to education and my work life, seeing so many other people like me who I think did a lot of what they were told to do all their lives as far as go to school, get an education, invest in a home, save your money, and now can't find work. And in talking to my parents during their generation, it was more like, you know, if you had a good education at that time, you're guaranteed a job. And now I see people, you know, at the Occupy site, we have people there with all levels of education who can't find work. We have people there who have been employed for long periods of time, regardless of education, who can't find work or underemployed. And we talk a lot about income disparity, and we talk a lot about just kind of gauging the United States against other countries, other countries that are past the industrial age. And in a presentation I recently gave, as of 2010, out of 133 countries, the United States is now 93rd in income equality. China, Russia, and Iran are beating us now in income equality. We are 80% of this country is fighting over 7% of the wealth total. It's like if you look at it on a pie chart, it's this teeny tiny little piece of the pie. And it makes you realize, especially when you start to hear about CEO bonuses and huge payouts to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars, it really brings home how long is this going to go on? How long are we all going to have to deal with a bad economic situation and bad job prospects and what it's going to do for us all long term, including our retirement? And that's why I decided to definitely take a look. I saw what was going on in Wall Street. I was curious to see if Baltimore had a chapter or an affinity with it. And sure enough, we had one starting on that Tuesday where there was a Facebook page established, and that's how I found out about it and been there every day since.
We're going to take a break and come back and talk about WEA, but we would like you to join us here at 410-319-8888. I'm curious if you what you think of the Occupy Baltimore, Occupy Wall Street, what's going on, if you support it, don't support it, if you think you're part of the 99%. Or if you think you're part of the 1%, 410-319-8888. We'll be right back with our conversation. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back here. We are talking about Occupy Baltimore with folks here. Many things are happening in Occupy Baltimore. And the folks who have been there occupying that little piece of land at the corner of Charles and Pratt, two of them are here with us in the studio. Shalon Brown, who's been a participant in this Occupy Baltimore, Mike McGuire, who's also been a participant, is also a carpenter, a member of the Red Emma's Collective. They've been joined by union workers who are organizing people to stand up for their rights in the city. They're a part of this whole movement. We have in the studio Novella Gardner, who is a banquet server and union leader at the Convention Center, and Liana Dalton, who is an organizer with Unite Here, Local 7, which is doing the organizing. 410-319-8888 is the number here. If you feel you're part of the 99%, we want to hear from you about what you think about Occupy Baltimore. And also, you know, I was thinking about today, here we are on a public radio station, and somebody who I used to work with for a long time, Lisa Simeone, who was a host here at a local radio station with me before, and also now is a host of two other national programs, one an opera show, the other a program of radio documentaries. And that program of radio documentaries through NPR fired her because she was part of Occupy Washington. Now, that to me was pretty shocking, that somebody can't raise their voice independently in a democratic nation to say what they feel and think, when they get fired because they stood up.
I remember a time when you were fired, Mark.
For similar reasons. And I think you have to stand up and say what has to be
indeed
said.
No matter what your occupation.
No matter what your occupation is.
And that's actually what a lot of workers across this country face every day, the fear of, can I really stand up for my rights, even though people have the legally protected right? It's often the case that these rich companies will try and retaliate because they're terrified that people will actually stand up and exercise the real power that they have. And so that's a real fear that and we're always fighting with as organizers here, is people really, they want to fight. They want to see things change, but they also want a job. And so it's about talking about why is it important enough to stand up and fight even despite the risk and despite the fact that, you know, the company may retaliate.
I'm curious. We always like to paint these things like Occupy Baltimore and other places as places that are just a bunch of young white students who've got nothing else better to do, so they want to go occupy a little piece of the real estate. I mean, that is the popular image the media creates about what goes on, right? And when it was New York, it was clear that it was this multiracial, multi-class group of people who were there together. So I'm going to ask some of you different questions about that. And Novella Gardner, as a woman who works hard to feed her family, as a banquet server at the convention center, how do you and your fellow workers look at this Occupy Baltimore?
Well, I look at it as a learning experience, because before I knew anything about a union or anything, I was just in the dark. And once I found out my rights, I got more interested in what was going on. Before, I just didn't care. I didn't have anything to fight for, nothing to stand up for. But now that Local 7 has taught me my rights, I have a right to stand up and voice my opinion. And my hat's off to everybody at
Occupy Baltimore.
Yes.
Yes, go.
My hat's off to everybody for standing up for the rights. Because if you don't know what's going on, you won't learn. And people have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of being in the situation in order to make a change. And that was me. I was tired of just taking the crap and being pushed around. And Local 7 taught me how to stand up and fight. And that's why I fight for me and my fellow coworkers, because we are a team, and it's no iron team. We are a team, and we have the right to stand up and fight for our rights.
So, I mean, this is a pretty powerful statement you just made, and I think it's an important one to make. And I'm curious how you all see that. I mean, because I've been down to Occupy Baltimore only once, but I'll get back down there. I do want to see some more what's going on. So, what about this image of it being all a bunch of young white students who are kind of just disgruntled with their existence, have nothing better to do?
You know, people call us dirty hippies. They call us, tell us to get jobs.
But you're not a young white student.
No, I'm not.
You're young.
I am.
But you're not a student.
No, not anymore.
And you're not white.
Correct. There's all different colors and kinds. You know, I'll tell you, the one thing that, once we, our best outreach we feel is to engage people in conversation, which is what we're really there to do, is engage our community in conversation. And when you also tell people that we're not just there talking about high level politics, we're also talking about local issues to Baltimore. We're talking about the 40,000 boarded up row houses in the city, how we continually elect people or get people on board who say they're going to do things about it. And it seems like, I've lived in Baltimore for over a decade now, and there's some of the same streets, the same rows that are same boarded up that were here when I got here still are, and we need to do something about it, and we feel as a community we can take it into our own hands and do things about that. And when you engage people in those kinds of conversations, nobody's going to tell you that you're wrong, because everybody wants a cleaner city, no matter what political affinity you are, no matter what social or moral compass you come by. Those are things that they can say, hey, you know what, get behind it. And I say, well, then come to our General Assembly 8 o'clock every night and talk to us, and let's talk about ways that we can fix those things. So it's a broad brush that we're all down there, all different colors, all different backgrounds. We've got people that are well into their 60s. We had an 82-year-old woman come and tell us that she supported our movement and would do anything she could to help. So it is all colors, all age ranges, all backgrounds. And it's very engaging, and you always leave feeling like you really did something to change the world. You really did something just by engaging that one person and changing their mind and saying, you know what? Yeah, I'll come down. I'll join you at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I'll be here. You touch somebody, and it's beautiful.
Let's get a call in here. We'll come back to our other guests as well. 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Steiner.
Hi, Clarence. Welcome.
As always, I'm old-fashioned. My check is in the mail. But
okay. As long as it's in the mail, that's cool.
My question is this, and it's more than observation, as to the unions who have not shown their faces in this Occupy Wall Street such as municipality unions like the police and firefighters and the teachers. I haven't heard anything from any of those unions. And if you had to scale unions as opposed, you know, by membership and how much money are in their coffers and their connection to the municipal powers, do you see anything there lacking, anything of substance in that question?
That's a really good question.
Well, it's a rare day when you're going to see the police union turning people out on the streets. Same with the firefighters union. The teachers union in New York, it's UFT, has been turning out thousands and thousands of members. I think one of the predecessors to the Occupy Wall Street, there were two real predecessors in this year. One was this May 12th day of action where UFT turned out, I think it was about 10,000-12,000 people to just flood Wall Street together with a bunch of community associations. And, you know, I was up there for all that week of May 12th working out of the UFT offices there in the financial district. And every day we had groups of 100 people going out. And there was one day, the first day that I was up there, we did about 20 different occupations of bank lobbies, hitting hedge fund lobbies. We would run in 100 people with drums, banners, chants, just voicing our frustration. The police were there. We had two officers following us around all day. And the officers were just like, yeah, go ahead and do what you want. Just don't mess with anything too much. And if we tell you that we're going to arrest you, we will. So get out of there. And we had the run of the city. It was amazing. It was fantastic. And I was talking to the cops, and I was just like, look, people have been wondering where the mobs are that are responding to this incredible income and power inequality in society. And this is the beginning of it. I didn't know that Occupy Wall Street was coming next. Really, what came next in New York was Bloombergville, which was a very small occupation outside of City Hall. Didn't last very long. Didn't get a lot of traction. But then those same people got behind the organizing for Occupy Wall Street. I don't know how many of your listeners know where Occupy Wall Street came from, but it was this agitational propaganda group called Adbusters out of Canada.
They put out a magazine.
Yeah, they put out a magazine. They don't have any organizers. They don't have any capacity other than to make really compelling graphics. So they did some nice compelling graphics calling on folks to Occupy Wall Street on September 17th. And a lot of us were looking at it and being like, who in the devil are these folks calling for this? Like, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, but they don't have any power to do this. And I, who, you know, I've been working with a lot of groups nationally over the years, I'm like, who's getting behind this? It was the folks out of Bloombergville. It was the folks from the May 12th Coalition. It was autonomous activists from, you know, generations, and especially folks coming out of the global justice movement that came out of the Seattle WTO battle, stuff like that. But nobody had any idea where this was going. You know, come September 17th, most folks thought that ideally, at most, we would be able to get to one park somewhere in the financial district and have a big massive public meeting. And then the police would shut it down. We would all leave. The police didn't shut it down, and there were a couple hundred people that went there ready to sleep out, and the rest is history. Well, it's not history. It's in progress. I mean, we don't know where it's going, but we hope it's going someplace good.
We're going to take a very brief break and come right back to our conversation. And when we come back, let's explore whether or not the folks occupying Baltimore, occupying Wall Street that we visited last week and brought the stories back home, feel that they're isolated, small minority. Do they really represent the 99%? And we'll talk about that when we come back. Right now we're going to talk about WEAA and why you need to support WEAA. We'll be right back. Now, welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. And I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. And they are our print partners, and every month we bring you Urbanite Radio Stories, and I bring to you the opening page on Urbanite with our interviews. So support them as well as supporting us. We're here in the studio with four people involved with changing the nature of our politics in the city and community, part of Occupy Baltimore. Shalom Brown is with us. Shalom Brown is with us, who is a participant in Occupy Baltimore, as is Mike McGuire, who is also a carpenter member of the Red Emma Collective. Novella Gardner is banquet server and union leader at the Convention Center for a Unite Here Local Number 7. And Liana Dalton's in the studio with us, who is an organizer with Unite Here Local Number 7. So before we go to our next caller, Brian, So, I mean, do you feel that this is your isolatedness? Do you feel you represent more than just a few people who are down there? You know, some people like to paint this as not as big as the Tea Party, not the same thing. It just doesn't really represent the majority of folks in this country. What do you think about that? How do you look at that? Go ahead, anybody, just pick it up.
You know what, I think we represent everybody. I think that's the whole idea. Anybody in this country from all different kinds of backgrounds, regardless of what it is you hail from, everybody has a struggle. And what makes it beautiful is that there is no just one isolated movement behind any individual goal or idea. Everybody has a frustration, whether it is with banking, corporations, the foreclosure crisis, you name it. We have all different people down there with different ideas of what's wrong with the status quo and ways to fix it. We have all different political affinities, and we have healthy discussion about it, and we learn from each other. And just hearing the stories, finding out what the average person makes in Baltimore full-time, a janitor, I found out, makes, you know, only about $22,000 a year. And when you hear those numbers, and when people call you, you know, tell you lazy, tell you getting, you know, to get a job and stop complaining, you're like, well, these are people that are hardworking, full-time employed. These are not lazy anything. And we all know here in Baltimore City, you can't raise a family on that. I mean, even if you had two people in that full-time salary. And so we talk about those issues. So I really do think we definitely represent every core background. Like I said, I'm talking to people with PhDs on site that can't find work. And so it really runs the gamut. We've talked to small business owners that have come down and actually given their support because they believe in corporate transparency and fairness. And they're disgusted, frankly, with what they find in larger sectors and want it restored, want the American dream to come back. So
we haven't heard from you for a minute, Liana.
Yeah, I guess I think I agree with exactly what you said. And I think that not only are we representing a broad base of the population, but the only way that things are really going to change is if that the working people in the in this country really stand up and start to say we've had enough. Like Novella said, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we're going to do something about it.
I mean, do you think that, Novella, that if you – then we'll open the phones here. I want to hear from Brian, our next caller, that when it comes to Unite and organizing unions, how do you think most of the folks around you, people you know who do the kind of work that you do, people in your group of friends, folks in your world, think about, A, Occupy Baltimore, but, B, the idea of being part of a union, which is something really new, I think, for convention center workers?
No, convention center always had a union. But I've talked to a lot of my friends, and I tell them that, you know, I have a union and a strong union, and they taught me my rights and taught me how to stand up and fight for my rights. And they were saying, oh, you do? How do you do that? And then I say, well, you know, you got to get behind the doors and start talking about what's fair. Is it fair that you lose your job due to no fault of your own? I mean, you got to stand up for something. If you just let the bosses keep pushing you around and pushing you around, you won't get nowhere. You know, we have a thing where, well, with me, I just feel that people have to be tied. I mean, I just got into the work field not too long ago once all my kids got old enough to go to school. So this is new for me. And my first job was working at a school cafeteria, and I knew nothing about a union. And I worked at Southern High School, and I see some of them kids come up to me, and they say, you used to be my cafeteria worker. Yes, I did. And I be telling them, you know, if you want to get a job, get a good job. But make sure you have a union behind that job, because they can't fire you any old kind of way.
That's an important message. 410-319-8888. Brian, you're on the air. Hi, Brian.
I just want to say I fully support the Occupy Wall Street movement, and I think it's, you know, necessary, and it's the right first step. We're never going to get change in this country through the electoral process. You know, the Obama administration has taught us that if we didn't get change in the moment of crisis with a democratically controlled Senate and House of Representatives, we're never going to get it. And I think people need to, you know, see what happened in Greece today, that the Greek parliament, in the face of, you know, huge protests in a country with a, you know, a more participatory, with higher levels of participation in the labor movement and in the midst of a general strike, passed austerity measures nonetheless. This is a protracted battle. And I want to say that, you know, Occupy Wall Street, its value is that, you know, we're getting people talking, but sooner or later we're going to need to move to other tools like the general strike, like boycotts, that have peace. Not that, you know, getting out there and protesting does not, but we're going to need to expand and do those kind of things, because the only way that the capitalists are going to sit up and listen is if you start, you know, if you start hitting them where it hurts. And that's what we need to do. I'll take my comments off the air.
Brian, thanks. Let me just say that you will find Monday on our program, we will be talking to a number of people, including Kostis Papadantonakis, who just came back from Greece, and getting a firsthand report on what happened there from somebody who was in the midst of it. So we'll be doing that on Monday and hear his voice, and among others.
And an excellent thinker, too.
Yes, I've known Kostis for a long time.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to say one quick thing.
Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say we do talk about labor unions a lot down at the site and how invaluable they are to this movement and how they've been doing this for centuries, what some of us are just new to activists. They've been finding what works and what doesn't as far as getting attention and making change. And so we value that experience so much, and that's why we want them to really be a real core part of this movement, because they know how to organize, and really make it effective. So we value it so much.
Go ahead. We about to say something, Alan?
I was just going to follow along with that we, like our vision as the Hospitality Workers Union, the Service Workers Union here in Baltimore is, you know, you've seen throughout 30 years ago there were all these good industrial jobs here in the city, and someone could work, you know, for a 40-hour week and get healthcare and decent wages, and that was because people for many, many years fought and organized. And that's exactly now that you know, the jobs are mostly service jobs because all the industrial jobs have been outsourced. What we have the sort of task at hand is, how can we organize these service jobs so that they too can become decent jobs that someone could work a 40-hour week and have health care? And so that's the vision of what we're trying to start to create in Baltimore, trying to get service workers to stand up together and fight to make that change.
And jobs are so hard to get. We have people coming that were lawyers and doctors that's trying to be service workers now because jobs are so hard to get.
That's a really that's a very serious statement. Let me get a quick call on here and you can answer it. John, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Well, John, welcome.
I just had a few comments and I had a few questions.
We only have a few minutes, so we have to. Sorry.
Okay, well, my first question was, you know, what did this Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Cities, what did they actually want?
Okay.
My comment was, a lot of folks are talking about unions. I mean, unions are a great asset, but they can be a detriment as well, because not everyone has to be a part of that union. But everyone has to get whatever benefits that union puts forth for everyone.
All right, so let me start with, what does Occupy Wall Street Baltimore stand for?
Well, we're trying to create a deep democracy in the society. I want to also mention Brian's call. He was talking about the organizing that has to happen outside of the political system. Like, the only way that you have a deep democracy is if there's a citizenry that's mobilized outside of the state, outside of the traditional political parties. So that's one of the things that we're seeing here. In terms of what we want to see equalization of power in society. In terms of Baltimore, there's a myriad of things that we want, but one of the things that we're focusing on a lot is the role of the Baltimore Development Corporation in informing how public investment happens in Baltimore. There's no reason that we should have private citizens representing the wealthy class deciding where our public money goes. Instead, I think it would be great if we were to see something like a participatory budgeting process that completely unseated the Baltimore Development Corporation. I hope your listeners know what the Baltimore Development Corporation is. so they know what I'm talking
well,
about.
We've done them. We've had them on the air a great deal. I mean, the conversation about them. So and unfortunately, we have to kind of wrap this up because we have to get back to talking about WEA in the last few minutes of the show here. So what is next? Very quickly.
I just wanted to announce that we are planning a major demonstration on November the 5th, and we're asking for everybody to come out for the exact time is still being determined, but we're trying to pull together a major account closeout at Major Bank Day. If you have a major bank account, like at Bank of America or any of the other big national banks, doing a demonstration to close out your account and move your funds to a credit union is one thing that we really are pushing to get. This coming Friday, I know that there's going to be a major demonstration for race and gender equality, and that's going to happen right down at McKeldin Fountain Park. So, come out. And also there's more information on our website, occupybemore.org.
And we want to thank Shalom Brown and Mike McGuire from Occupy Baltimore and Novella Gardner and Liana Dalton from Unite Here Local Number 7 for talking about the unions and organizing in this town and for Novella for sharing her thoughts and feelings and ideas about her work and what the future is.
Really quick, I want to thank you, Mark, and I want to thank that person from Wisconsin that called in with a pledge because
yes.
Wisconsin started this off in the United States.
It's true.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much. See you downtown.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take a brief break and come right back here to talk about WEAA and run this hour out with some make all the numbers. I think we can make these numbers. We can make them.